This is a Collider.com audio interview.
It's a little surreal. We used to screen our effect shots in this room. We would be checking to see if the water shots were real or the animal shots were coming together. I have fallen asleep many times in this room.
So you want me to, hopefully none of that won't be repeated during this.
What's that?
Hopefully that won't be repeated.
I hope not. I don't think so. Are you kidding me? You guys? I have to empty my pockets whenever I do work like this, so I don't like this one. I'm going to move that up in here. Just kidding. All right, here we go.
All set?
What's up, peeps? I can barely see you.
First question.
Hi.
Yo. What's up?
Not 2 miles, Tom. How are you doing?
Fantastic.
This movie has been widely reported as costing $200 million.
Really?
So
wow.
That's kind of expensive. Yes, I just spent $200 million on Evan Almighty and was the look that Steve Carell has in this movie influenced by your own look.
Just the hairdressing alone was like $98 million. Yeah, I kind of want to be, the budget thing like kind of makes me smile because, Spider-Man just costs around $300. We're $170+, I think, is the official figure, although I don't even know what it was. Those are going to be on, I guess. I'm just going to have to get used to it. We're one of the cheaper summer movies, and yet we're a comedy, so it's unique. But we're much more than a comedy. As you know, we're a biblical epic. We had an ark. We had thousands of animals. We had a flood. That helped. Fantastic. You are a sexy man. And if you look at the screen, I could point you specifically to where the money goes. CG generation of water, composite shots that are 100 layers thick and deep. And the good news is ticket prices aren't going up because of this movie. People will get more for their money, and in this very competitive summer climate, we're glad we could offer a lot for the dollar. So, and I'm also glad that a comedy is being given this kind of belief by a studio. That a comedy is being taken this seriously. And again, we're a Bible story too. We're a Bible parable. We're not just quote a comedy. It's not two guys on a on a road trip. Behind the wheel of a Pinto. Although I think I may do that movie. That sounds good. All right, there we go. And what was the other one? Well, you did the look. There, you answered your own question. Okay. Was I the look? Who's next? Come on, bring it on. Yes, sir.
I was just wondering the various incarnations of the script, I'm sure, of which there are many, I'm sure, did this turn into a Bible story and a Noah story? And what was your... something you wanted to do right from the get-go?
Well, day one, I was involved in the original idea. Day one, we started writing the script. We knew we were doing a contemporized Noah's Ark story. It's another chapter in the God series, so we wanted to find a theme to hang it on. Every parable has a theme. Every parable is going somewhere. And you have to arc out your characters, and they have to learn their lessons. So, arc out, yes. Didn't want to be obvious. From day one.
Hi, Sheila Roberts.
Hello, Sheila. What's up?
What's up? Can you talk a little bit about the challenges of building such a large and complicated set piece?
You mean an arc?
Yes.
Well, imagine it. Okay, Sheila, you have to build an ark. Take care now. Bye-bye then. And you have to go do it. Now, when we thought of this originally, back to your question, hey, it'd be cool to have, a modern-day ark. What if God came to you and told you to build an ark? Oh, man, that'd be cool. Especially if you were working at a really serious job or, And then you get there a couple months before we start shooting and you go, oh, we have to do this. Actually have to build an ark. And you realize that idea now has to come to life. And the answer in one word is help. We needed lots of help. We needed, it's the most extreme home makeover show ever done. We needed builders and engineers and structural engineers, because you know, Noah didn't have to worry about putting a film crew on his boat. We did. You know, the equipment's very heavy. How does that work? You know, where are the weak points, the structural deficiencies? What, you know? So we had a lot of help, and we also had to figure out how Steve was going to participate in the building. In the building of this, he actually had to learn how to build a boat. We know about the keel now, the rib pieces, you know, skinning the ark, how all that works. So I'm the guy to come teach that class at Sunday school. Not that anybody wants to see it. Angela, what's up? What's up, Angela? You guys all want to do the dance? Come on. Maybe not. This side of the room is joy challenged. Over here we have joy challenged people. I'm kidding. Okay.
Were there any divine intervention moments? And that means any kind of any natural disasters that happened during it, like floods, lightning, thunder, whatever, anything like that.
Yeah.
And secondly, I received an email from PETA a couple weeks ago, and I don't know if anybody else did here, but they were
have they seen the film? I mean, do they know what exotics we were upset about? Because they could be CG exotics too, and
right. Well,
and which the CG PETA group would be very unhappy, but the actual PETA group probably wouldn't have a complaint.
About the chimps.
The chimps. Okay. Understand.
So any divine intervention in the chimps?
Okay. Let me speak to the PETA first. I'll do them out of order. You know, they're not wrong. You know, there's a certain amount of hypocrisy whenever you work with animals, even to show, which we hope we're showing, that respect of all of God's creation, appreciation for the gift of the earth and the animals and the life here, and then to use animals for our end, for their own end. Someone once said to me, they looked at it as those animals are heroes for their species. So we did use a number of heroes, and I don't discount, you know, people saying, is that ultimately a good means to the end, the right means to the end? I don't know. I don't know. I respect their criticism. I don't respect it on species we didn't use, you know. And many of these animals were rescued. You know, Mark Forbes, our animal guy, is the most thoughtful person. He wouldn't harm an animal. He'd sooner do himself in. Many of these animals have been rescued from other situations and can't be returned to the wild, you know. And this is the life they've kind of come to know or grow into, you know. Probably due to, you know, man's hubris or whatever, our ruling of the world. All right, that was a long-winded answer, but go PETA. All right. The other question was, we felt this movie wanted to be made, that there were, first of all, when I sat down to write it, you know, Steve Odekirk's our writer, but I'm very involved in the writing. I'm at a hotel in Santa Monica, and literally the day I sit down to write, it starts raining, and it doesn't stop raining for about a month. And we're thinking, okay, this is interesting. We go to Charlottesville, and everybody's concerned about the weather. They say, you should shoot in California. California, we have the right weather. And I said, no, it's got to be Virginia. You know, he's a congressman. There's the aesthetic, it doesn't exist here. We go to Virginia. The weather is not only stunning in Virginia, like a drought, like in the movie, but in California, it starts raining cats and dogs. It starts raining for about a month and a half, off and on, and it would have destroyed our production schedule. We then leave Charlottesville after being blessed with incredible weather. And when we leave Charlottesville, the day we left, it rained and flooded in the very valley that we built the ark. So we'll take this all as serendipitous good intentions from the great creative spirit, God. We feel we were very blessed. From the joy challenge side of the room.
What's up?
What's up, dog?
Hey. Okay, two somewhat related questions. Obviously, this film is being marketed to religious people and groups, and obviously there's a lot in that for them. It also has a strong environmental message. Sometimes those two groups are somewhat opposed to each other, people who support those two different ideas. Are you concerned at all about how, say, right-wing Christians might view the environmental message? And talk a little bit about the environmental message.
Well, first of all, I don't think... I would like to bridge those two groups, if you will. I can talk a long time about this, so please cut me off. First of all, when I think of the environment, I don't think just of a tree or the stream or the air. I think of you're in my environment. What was your name again?
Bob.
Bob, you're in my environment. I'm in your environment. We're creating an environment right here, a respectful one, hopefully. So it's not just how you treat the air and the plants and the trees and the animals. It's how we treat each other. Hence the theme of kindness in the movie, to be kind. Now, I think there's again, we look for common threads in religions, and Christ is all in all. Okay, that would be the Christian side of things, if this is Christian media. I think it is. If not, we can go Judaic. We can go other faiths. Christ is all in all, meaning that divine spark is in all things. So there was a line in the movie that originally got me to do the movie, which was about God saying, you know how I'm in all things, the plants, rivers, trees, oceans, land, animals. Well, you're killing me here, kid. You're killing me here. Now, too far, too preachy, not going to be in the movie, but that's the idea behind it, that this is all a gift, you know, and the way we treat not only each other, but this environment that we are leaving our children is important. And it's a reflection, I think, of our faith and our relationship with the divine that gave us his life. All right, that's enough. Amen? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Okay, all right.
Oh,
hello, hello. What's your name?
Hi, Daniela.
Hi, Daniela. If we could kill that light, it might be perfect. Now, I think everybody could see me. Is that... No, not good. Okay, better not. All right, okay. All right. All right, Daniela, go ahead.
Well, first of all, congratulations on actually being able to put together a great spiritual message and comedy. It's not easy.
Thank you.
You did it a great way. I admire that. I just wanted to ask you, what is your spiritual orientation or religion?
Well, let me say, first of all, that there is no more a Jesus freak in this room than me. Because when I was as young as I can remember having cognition and thought, I was looking at that Jesus guy going, whoever this is somebody that's blowing my mind. At the same time, I'm also a subscriber of a poem that said, truth has revealed so much to me that I can no longer call myself, and then it would name various faiths. This is all I think about, pretty much. This is the drive of my life. This relationship with this divine in me and you and in all things. So I don't give it a definition, although it defines me. That was pretty good. Thank you for that question, Daniela.
Assuming this movie is a success, will there be a Catherine Bell online?
Someone was saying that they noticed. That would be appropriate when you hear what this person said. Someone said that they noticed that God only comes to people, reporters from Buffalo, to save the world. So she would be a Buffalo reporter. And she is quite almighty. She's a great lady. We have an idea for the next one, but I'll keep that under wraps. Well, who knows? I mean, I can't even think about it. I mean, I have to survive the premiere. I mean, I've seen this movie a million times. I'm ready to do something else. We'll see. We'll see.
Steve Schaefer here again.
Where? Huh?
This side. The,
oh, sorry.
The joy-filled side.
Yes. And may I also say sexy?
Okay.
Just throwing that out.
So, can you talk a little bit about casting Steve Carell? Was he in the movie always before there was even a script or something, and also his injury when you had to, stop production for 6 weeks or something? What did that do to the movie?
Oh, we didn't have to stop for 6 weeks. We actually stopped for maybe 6 hours. He sprained his ankle when he was jumping out of the car, you know, getting away from the animals, you know, that were on him, the spiders and the snakes. This is still on? Yeah. So we, very little delay. He did have to go to the hospital. He turned his ankle pretty bad. Wanted to keep shooting, but, you know, we said, get out of here. But we started shooting pretty soon thereafter. He couldn't run for a while. So maybe we had to put some running scenes later or some more physical stuff. And the first question was...
Casting. Oh,
well, you know, we originally thought about this with Jim. You know, Bruce 2, The Ark, was going to be the name of that. And we even wrote a draft, you know, Odekirk, with, you know, myself involved, we wrote a draft for Jim. But ultimately, I think Jim couldn't decide either way, but I think ultimately he felt that his character had kind of arced out. There it is again. He kind of arced out. Are you sure? Because now...
Too close to your mouth.
But can you hear me this way? Can you hear me this way?
Well, yeah, that's better.
This way is better?
Yeah,
we
can hear you.
Okay, I'll speak right here. So he felt his character was kind of done. He learned his lesson. And we, as filmmakers, felt, and as a studio, felt there's more stories to be told than just Bruce. You know, in the Bible, how many stories where God visits someone and has a story to tell? So we think now there's more potential down the road. Whether we tap that potential, we'll see.
So when did...
Steve came into it right after Jim said, can't decide. And we thought there about Steve. My agent, Dan Loney, had brought him up as a possible choice if Jim didn't want to do the movie. 6 months before we chose him. And I thought, okay, that's interesting. He was brilliant in Bruce. He stole the movie. Stole the scenes he was in. Certainly not the movie. That's Jim's movie. But... he stole scenes, and then I said, well, what was his Virgin movie like? I heard it was, you know, he was good. And so I got an early screening of 40-Year-Old Virgin and thought, this guy can carry a movie. And I had a conversation with him about it, and I don't think I've ever had this happen before. I pitched him the idea and told him the story, and he said, I'm in. I said, well, you know, your people are going to want to get involved and, you know, you may want to have script. And he said, no, I'm in. I want to do the movie. And I've never had that happen before. Meaning, he said, I trust you. I trust Steve Odekirk. I trust your creative team. I've worked with you. I want to do the movie.
Last question. Jamie Portman, setting aside the arc aspect, how conscious were you of parallels to Mr. Smith Goes to Washington?
Your name was Jamie?
Yes.
Jamie. Good question. Very perceptive. I'm a Capra freak. I love Frank Capra. Believed in the goodness of people. One man's ability to fight and often triumph. And I did watch Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, although I'd seen it. And I like being mentioned in the same sentence, so feel free. It's a very different movie. Sorry, dry throat. It's a very different movie, but I do think that there's some core similarities.
Can I just ask about the dancing at the end? Was that
yes.
a middle of the movie you decided to do that, or was it going to happen?
Steve improvised.
Really?
Very early on, he improvised a joyful moment. You know, he was very high. In the beginning of the movie, he got a big house, he's got his new gig, he's a congressman, he's full of power. And he took a moment and did a little dance, did the new house dance. And then I thought, this is what I do. I said, see, that's really good. Maybe that could be a runner in the movie. Let's see if we can't find places for that. And then we liked it so much that we thought, with about 2 months left to go in shooting, we thought, maybe we could do a sequence with this. If not just for the DVD, we'll get the crew dancing. And it became...
people through the crowd, everybody wanted to see that.
Yeah, oh, it's really fun. It's really fun. And I think it's very spiritual, you know? Celebration, joy, dance, you know? It's very. I think it's a very spiritual theme. Good theme. If it was up to me, I'd make the 11th commandment do the dance.
Will there be a lot of extra things in the DVD then?
Oh yes, lots of extra things. You'll see how far we went. You know, in terms of some scenes that we decided were, you know, overstated, or slowing things down, or got too expensive. You know, didn't want you guys asking about the money. Wanda is a genius. I mean, I started calling her Rita Almighty. I mean, that woman rocked it so hard. Once I met with Wanda, and my editor worked with her on another movie, I knew that it would be insane not to tap into her genius. So about 90% of what you see of Wanda is Wanda. Now, not necessarily the storylines or driving things forward, but if you're laughing, I'll bet that's Wanda.
Thank you, everybody.
That's it?
That's it.
Oh, where's the controversy?